Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Aimlessly Aging Geek Podcast. It's me, your host, AJ, Pair to Wear, however you know me. This week, just talking about a couple things. I know we've had a bit of a hiatus. I've had a lot going on in my personal life, so I apologize for that. But yeah, this week, just going to talk, keep it simple. I'm going to talk about a game, and then I'm going to talk about an album. So, you know, pretty straightforward stuff this week. We'll start off with the game. It's a new release as of this recording. It came out like 4 days ago. And that is TMNT Shredder's Revenge. For those of you not aware, it is beat 'em up. That's a throwback to the old Turtles arcade games. It is developed by the studio that did the Streets of Rage 4 game a couple years ago. And I have to tell you, it's one of my favorite beat 'em ups I've ever played. I know the genre in and of itself is not super active as far as modern day ones. It's all like retro ones, like Final Fight, the old Turtle games, Streets of Rage, stuff like that. Those are the ones people think about the most. It's a genre that didn't transition as smoothly into 3D. But the old 2.5D brawler, that's kind of made a resurgence in indie games. I mean, it has had a few over the years, like Castle Crashers and Scott Pilgrim. But yeah, it's good to see it come back because, like I said, it definitely harkens back to the old Turtles game, especially Turtles End Time. The graphics are great. They're a nice, like, 16-bit graphics, you know, that even throws you back to those days, the glory days of beat-em-ups. The soundtrack is great. There's a lot of original music. There's a couple original songs. There's like one of them was created by a couple of the former members of Wu-Tang Clan. And it's just great. It's a fun time. Controls are pretty intuitive and simple, yet you can definitely like master stuff. They added like a dodge button so you could like dash out of the way of attacks, or if you do get hit, if you time it, you'll do like a dodge roll to escape. There's like wake up attacks now. They just added some nice modernized things to help keep it fresh. You have 6 playable characters, the 4 turtles, and then Splinter and April O'Neil. You can unlock Casey Jones by completing the story mode, so that'll give you 7. But and as far as like modes go, it keeps it simple. There's a story mode and arcade mode. Arcade mode, self-explanatory. You start at the beginning of the game. You have a certain amount of lives, a certain amount of continues. But you just got to beat the game at whatever difficulty setting. Go from episode 1 to 16 on that amount of continues. The story mode kind of works like almost like Super Mario Brothers 3. You have like an overworld that you go select like the episode, the level you want to go into. It adds a few other things like an experience system where you can level up whichever character you're playing as, which will give them more health. It'll give them more ninja bars, which is like their super meter. You have to have a full bar to do a super attack. It also is the only mode that has the radical power up, where if you have 3 full bars of ninja power and you press the taunt button, you'll go into like this mode, radical mode, where you do more damage, take less damage, all that good stuff. But it's got a variety of super moves. You can do one just from standing, do one from jumping, do one from like the dash, the dodge motion, and it's just fun. It's just one of those beat 'em ups have always been good to just like maybe not have it on like a super hard difficulty and just relieve some frustration, beat up some dudes, beat up some robots, some Foot Clan. The story mode, getting back to it, sorry I digressed, also has a few other things that isn't in the arcade mode. It has collectibles to find in each level. So for instance, like you may have to, over the entire course of the campaign, in each level you'll need to find collectibles to give like lost VHS tapes, newspapers, stuff like that to like side characters that'll have their own like little spot you can go to, and you'll get like extra points for finding that stuff. The story mode also has challenges in it. I don't know what completing all the challenges in story mode does. I haven't yet, because some levels, the one of the challenges is to not take any damage to that in that level. And I mean, it's just that I'm not the greatest. Like, I'm not the most technical player. So even on like easy, I find myself screwing up and still getting hit. So I'm not sure what completing all the challenges does. But so that's the story mode. Then as far as if you're wanting this as a multiplayer experience, it's great. If you have a Switch, you can play up to 6 players on one Switch, because it supports 6 player co-op online and offline. So that's really cool. First time I played through the campaign, I actually played through it with my daughter, because she loves games. She used to be in the Turtles, but I really just wanted to play this with her because she really liked other beat-em-ups we'd played. There was a Cartoon Network one. Of course, her and I also played Castle Crashers a little bit, and she really liked it. So I'm like, hey, we'll play this. I picked it up. It'll be simple enough on the easy mode. So her and I played through the campaign together as Splinter and April O'Neil. It's kind of weird neither of us chose any of the Turtles. It was fun. And I haven't tried the harder difficulties, but I'm assuming they will give you a challenge, because from what I've heard, the Streets of Rage 4, which this developer did a few years back, when you up the difficulty, it definitely gave seasoned players a nice challenge. So probably it will. I don't know, like I said, but I definitely think if you are a fan of beat-em-ups, and more specifically of the Turtles games, and you miss the old like arcade Nintendo, Super Nintendo beat-em-ups that were in the era, in those eras for the Turtles, this is a must-buy. Honestly, it's cheap. If you buy it digitally, I think it's only like $25, so it's not a lot for the asking price. It'll get you a lot of fun. Like I said, a lot of multiplayer you could get out of this. Just playing it to blow off steam. There's 7 different endings in the campaign mode, so you could play through as each character just to see what the ending is for each of them. But yeah, definitely a pickup. It's just a good beat 'em up in general, but if you grew up with the Turtles, it's just going to have so much fan service for you that you're going to love it. So yeah, that's my thoughts on TMNT Shredder's Revenge. When we get back, we'll be talking about my album pick. Stay tuned. All right, everybody. Thank you for sticking through the little break there. Like I said before the break, what I'll be talking about this segment is my album pick, not just for this week. Hell, this one might even be for the year, honestly. But if you follow my Twitter or you're like a friend of mine on Facebook, or even if you follow me on Instagram, you're gonna know that I have been really obsessed with this new album from kind of a newer band. The band's name is Mood Ring. The album that they just released is their debut album. So they've had like a couple EPs they've released over the last like year and a half, but this is their first full length. It's called Stargazer. And I have to tell you what a doozy this album is. If you've been listening to me over my last few episodes, you'll know I've kind of mainly been talking about heavier stuff. Like, I really got on a big deathcore kick for a while, and I still listen to a lot of deathcore, but I tell you what, I have not put this album down since it came out. And as the time of this recording, album's been out maybe a week. So it checks a lot of boxes for me. And I said that on my Twitter when I was talking about it. But it's a heavy album at times. It's very ambient. It's an album you can just vibe to. To put it bluntly, and I mean even the lead singer kind of wears the badge proudly, it's like the Deftones. If you like the Deftones, you're going to like this album, because it really just feels like Deftones, especially White Pony, self-titled Deftones era, where they had some like shoegaze elements, like some just really like nice chill elements to it, and melodic stuff instead of just like metal. But I tell you, I love this album from front to back. It's great. It's probably going to be my album of the year. I don't know of any other artist that I'm really hyped for an album coming out this year that could top this. And I tell you, I was hyped for this album when I heard their EP that they released a few months before the album. I liked the songs I heard late last year, because they did another EP late last year. I liked those, but I don't know what they did between that EP and this album / EP, because all the songs that were on the EP were from this album. But I don't know what they did. They like kicked it up to 11, because I can't put it down, man. I can't stop streaming it. It, like I said, it's got those nice heavy like metal elements to it. The dude has great melodies. The lead singer, his name's Hunter. And like I said, he leans into the Deftones inspiration. His Twitter handle is Knockoff Chino. And if you don't know, Chino Moreno is the lead singer of Deftones. But I mean, this guy wears his influences proudly. Not only does he have that in one of the music videos, he's got a tattoo of the White Pony, the pony logo from Deftones' White Pony album. He's got a lowercase g, which I'm fairly positive is for Glassjaw, because they spelled their name in all lowercase, and it's the exact same font that they use for their stuff. But I don't know, this is one of those, I think these guys are gonna take off. Maybe not super mainstream, but I feel like in the alt music community, like with rock, you know, metal, other like subgenres in that alt music world, I think they're gonna blow up, because their music is just, it has a broad appeal, and like not in a bad way, not like a crappy poppy way, but it's like there's so many elements in it, right? Like I said, there's like some vibey shoegaze stuff, there's some really heavy like guitars, the dude screams sometimes, but then he's got this nice melodic, sometimes haunting voice that he sings on songs. Like, some of the songs are super catchy. Well, all the songs are super catchy. Peel has got to be one of my favorite songs on the album. Sync.wave. N-I-K-E. Like, they just all have something special about them, and they all just also flow into each other very well. So I just gotta say, I love it. I want them to come to Omaha. I love Mood Ring. I am glad that I discovered them. And this album, not only is it my album of the year this year, more than likely, like I said, it's going to take a lot to top it. I am going to go so far as to saying, I think, at least for me personally, I guess I'll give a disclaimer there. I don't want anybody to be up in arms, but for me personally, this is the most impressive debut album I've ever listened to from a band. Any band, even my favorite bands, like Circa Survive or Le Dispute, any of them, any of my bands that I would put in like my favorite bands list, even their debut albums aren't as good as what I feel this debut album is. Like Mood Ring, they've started off high. They've got a bar set for themselves now. I think they can do it. I want them to do it. They're just so good. And like I said, if anyone from Mood Ring is listening to this, come to Omaha. I will be one of the first people to buy a ticket to a goddamn show in Omaha. At the time of this recording, they're just kind of getting off I think still might be on the tour with Kane Hill. But none of them came close enough where I could feasibly make it work. So I'd love to see them. It's, again, Stargazer by Mood Ring. Check it out. Do yourself a favor. You might be disappointed because everybody has their own taste in music. But I don't know, man. It's good. If you're somebody listening to me already, then you probably already have kind of a taste for alternative music as it is. So, give it a try. I had to break down and buy the vinyl too, and I had to order it directly from them because no record shop I checked in Omaha was able to get it in through their vendors. So, which is cool. Even though I'd like to support a local shop, it's still cool to buy from the label directly. So I did that. And I'm kind of picky on what albums from what artists I will buy on vinyl, because vinyls are nice, but they're also not cheap at like $30 to $40 a pop plus shipping. So yeah, they're definitely getting a spot. Just can't wait for it to get here. But that, I think, is going to be me for the week. I appreciate y'all listening this far. If you did, you know the usual. Give me a follow on social media. My streaming stuff is Pair to Wear. My podcast stuff is Aimlessly Aging Geek. You can find on all of them. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook pages for them. I've also got like a personal TikTok that's also Pair to Wear. I haven't posted on there in a while, but I post dumb crap sometimes. Make sure to stop by my streams. I'm trying to get more consistent with that, because I've entered into the Respawn Recruits contest that they do over the summer, where they pick a few content creators and then they sponsor them stuff. They can win, I think this year they're adding a cash prize, but it's like a bunch of like Respawn products, like desks, chairs, things like that. I've always wanted one. They've just been a bit out of my price range with what all other stuff I have going on. I mean, I know they're good and they're worth it. I just never have enough disposable income to justify a purchase that big. But so I'm doing that. So please check out my stuff. That'll definitely help me towards that. There's also my Ritual Motion code, Pair to Wear, get you 10% off at their shop. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. Have a good one.